You are ready for the word, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Me too, that was a lot. Matthew 13, if you've got your Bible, I want you to go ahead and open that up, and it'll be on the screen as well. Matthew 13, starting in verse 1, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, and then he told them many things in parables. I want to pause. I love this. I love Jesus, by the way. I love his word. I love how Jesus taught the word as well. One of the things I love most about Jesus is that he broke a lot of cultural norms. And he thinks outside of the box a little bit. And so I'm sure that there's religious people gathered that day that are a little upset that he's not teaching in the synagogue, because he's teaching, he's standing in a boat. And the reason he got in a boat was because so many people were crowded to hear what he had to say that he had to get away from them in the boat. He's out in the water and he's teaching them. And I love what he's doing right here is he's telling a parable. Everybody say parable. He's telling a story, he's giving an example, and he's breaking down the word of God so that anybody could understand the word. And I love that he did this all throughout the text, because he wasn't trying to talk over people's heads. He wanted it to penetrate and pierce the hearts of humanity. Now, Jesus, in this text right here, he's talking to a group of people that knew all that there was to know about agriculture. He knew that they knew what about farming and living off of the land. And so when Jesus is giving this illustration, the parable of the sower is what this is known as, these people understood. And I want us to understand this before we read this text. I don't know if you know this, but this region, Northwest Arkansas, is ripe for a harvest. Can I have an amen? There are people moving. I just saw a post that Arkansas is the number 4 state to move to out of all the states, all right? I love that people are moving here, but maybe they should stop. I don't know. Over 40 people a day are moving to Northwest Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas is the top 10 places to live in the U.S. Business is growing. The economy is booming. The population is growing. And I am certain that you and your family and this church is here for such a time as this. Y'all believe that? I believe that God wants to do something very special this year through this region. And let's continue. Verse 3. It says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came, and they ate it up, and then some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, and it grew up, and it choked out the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. There is good news today. Where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. I love this verse. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. So I want to start off by answering just a few simple questions this morning. Who is the sower? In this passage, specifically, the sower is Jesus. Now, in our context today, anyone handling the word of God, anyone that is scattering seed would be a sower as well. Now, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. It is the truth. It is the God-breathed, spirit-filled, alive and active message of hope. And just because of the topic today, this is my first ever Bible. And I just wanted to bring it out because it just brings me so much joy. And I just am so thankful for what the word has done in my life. What is the sower? Or who is the sower? It's Jesus. What is the seed? It's the word of God. And what is the soil? The soil is the human heart. Now, I'm going to talk a lot about the human heart here in a second. But it's interesting. I read this text and one out of the 4 soils were fruitful. One of them is good, The other three are not. Three out of the four soils were not fruitful. That's the thorns, it's the rocks, it's the path. And so I'm going to be honest with y'all. Can I be honest with y'all this morning? Awesome, I still planned on it. It's easy to read this passage and get a little discouraged, especially as a pastor and someone who preaches the word of God. Because if you look through it at this word with a worldly lens, then you would say, well, the odds aren't very good for the person sowing seed. The odds aren't in your favor. It seems unwise to use the amount of time and resources that we would use with such a little return, 25%. And this is a worldly view. Does everybody know what ROI stands for? It's return on investment. And I want you to hear this very boldly today, and I want to be very direct about this. Anytime the word of God is shared, anytime the gospel is preached, anytime seed is sown, anytime you share the transformation message of the gospel that has all hope and all power, only 25% of the people may receive it, but 100% of the people will hear it. And the best way to tell if somebody needs to hear the word of God is what it says in verse 9. It says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So everybody check, do an earlobe check real quick. You got your ears, okay? Everybody just check your pulse. If your neighbor's asleep, check their pulse. Make sure that they're good, all right? It seems to me like we've got a lot of candidates today for the word of God. It seems to me like there's a lot of soil available to throw seed out and see what God would do at the beginning of 2024. Because, listen, our responsibility, I want you to write this down, is to steward the condition of our hearts. When you deal with life's problems, when you deal with adversity, when things don't go your way, and then also when it comes to receiving the word of God, as we approach the word of God, our responsibility is stewarding the condition of our own heart. Because when the word of God is shared, it's always 100% of the time worth it. Every single time, no matter what, no ifs, ands, or buts, it says, those who have ears, let them hear. Are you with me? So our responsibility as Christ followers, I want you to write this down, is to read the word, to live the word, and to share the word. In that order, read the word, live the word, and share the word. Do what it says. And that order is really vital, because the last person that y'all want to be around is the person that reads the word, doesn't do what it says, but they tell everybody else what they should do. Y'all ever been around somebody like that? If they're with you, just kind of nudge them, all right? Don't do that. Nobody wants to be around someone who reads the word, who's a professional Christian, but they don't apply the word of God to their life, and they just like to tell everybody else what they should do or how they should change their life. They love to quote scripture and sound spiritual, but you cannot see the evidence of scripture taking root in their life. Someone who talks the talk but doesn't what? They don't walk the walk, right? So we must read it, we must live it, and we must share the word of God. And there's always a return on the investment. And I want you to know this, the reward is internal and the word is eternal. There's a work done on the inside of us, and there is a work done that we can't even see on this side of eternity. And so I want us to do this. Would you do this? Raise your hand if you want to have a fruitful life. Okay, I would assume that's probably everybody here today, a God-honoring life, a faithful life. But the reality is, as we begin this rooted series, and I want to start with just the basics, is that oftentimes we want to see fruit in our life. We love to address the fruit in our life, but we rarely want to get beneath the surface and deal with the roots in our life. And so today I want us to do a fruit check, but I also want us to do a root check. Tell your neighbor, say, we're about to get a checkup today. We're going to get a little checkup. Tell your other neighbor, say, you need not a physical, but you need a spiritual, okay? We're going to get a checkup, a root check, and a fruit check today. I want you to write this down. The seed remains the same, and the soil changes every day. This is so important for us to get this. The seed remains the same, and the soil changes every day. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. My heart changes all the time. My heart can be all over the place. As a Christ follower, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, all these things, my heart can be all over the place. And this week specifically, my heart was all over the place. So let's address the seed which is the word of God, and then we'll address the heart. I'm going to share a few verses. They won't be on the screen. This is what the word of God is. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:1. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. But you, God, you remain the same, and your years will never end. Your word, Lord, is eternal, and it stands firm in the heavens. I just want to show you this. The grass withers and the flower fade, but the word, but my words, the word, will never pass away. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It is not changing like our hearts. It is not shifting like the shadows. It is not moving. It remains solid, and it is a great place to build your life upon. So that's the seed. That's the word of God. Let's talk about the heart. Everybody say the heart. Ecclesiastes 9:3, it says, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it, Jeremiah says. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I came to really encourage you today. Matthew 15, it says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. And honestly, the list goes on. The Bible talks about the heart a lot. And let me tell you, our hearts are evil. Our hearts are sinful. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Surely the Bible says that there is not a righteous man on earth who does good. Y'all ever been like, you know, heard somebody, well, they just have a really good heart. We don't. Sorry to break the news to you. Well, they're just a really good person. There's not one in all of the earth. It says that there is no one without sin. From one man's disobedience, the word says we were all made sinners. Thanks, Adam. By the one man's obedience, though, many will be made righteous. There is good news. We can be made righteous because of Christ. But we have to know that at our roots and at our core, we are evil, we are sinful, we are broken, and we desperately need a Savior. With that being said, have y'all ever heard, we've been over this, heard the advice, just listen to your heart. Yeah, I've given that advice before. Just listen to your heart. Just follow your heart. Whatever you think is best. Y'all ever, in recent days, hey, live your own truth. Careful. Hey, whatever you think is best. Whatever your heart's telling you. Whatever you feel. Whatever you feel like today, that is true. Right? This is what the world is screaming, but from the famous theologian Roxette, this is what we know is true. She said, listen to your heart when it's calling for, yeah, I can sing. Listen to your heart, nothing else. This is my audition, Andrew. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know why. Listen to your heart. I wrote a remix a couple years ago. This is what it sounds like. Don't listen to your heart because it's lying to you. Don't listen to your heart. It's the worst thing you could do. Your heart is sick and deceitful. It's wicked and dark. It's evil. And if you follow it, you're doomed. Okay, thank you, thank you. I know. Thank you. Wow, I didn't expect that. But I'm sorry if you invited someone to church today. Listen, don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. It is alive. It is active. It is sharp. It is trustworthy. You can build your life upon it because it doesn't change. It is trustworthy. It is faithful. It remains the same, and from it comes abundant life. So now that we've got all that covered, there's four conditions of the heart. And as I read through these today, it's a very simple message. I just want you to see where you're at. I have been in all of these places, so there is no judgment this morning. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but I pray that God would convict our hearts today. The first one is this, it's the path. The path, this is the hardened heart. In verse 3, it's interesting, Jesus starts the parable, he tells these people this parable, and then on the back end of the parable, he explains to them what it means. Because the intention of the word of God, just to make this super clear, is never to talk over your heads. It's always that it would penetrate our hearts and that it would take root in our life. Verse 3, a farmer went to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and they ate it up. Verse 18, he explains. He says, listen then to what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. And this is the seed that is sown along the path. It's interesting because this is soil that has been trampled down by people's feet. Have y'all ever looked in the woods and you can see the path where people have walked or where deer and animal has walked? It's because it gets trampled enough and eventually it becomes this very, very stiff, hardened dirt. It's not like a concrete path. It's dirt that is pressed down. And these people, I'm sure that their ears perked up and their eyes opened up a little bit and they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. This is a heart that has been hardened by sin. The word of God, it has a hard time getting rooted in trampled soil. This is a heart that has been submerged in sin. It has become calloused and it has been made hardened. A life that is full of sin without repentance leads to a hardened heart. And I want to tell you, I spent most of my life in this soil right here. My heart was broken. I was so far from God. I was thinking of my high school and college days. Most of you know my story. My heart was hard as a rock. I was addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to alcohol. Life was all about me. I was building my own little kingdom. I was the thief. I stole for years. I was a liar. I was in toxic relationships. I was an angry person. I didn't want you to have joy because I didn't have joy. I made fun of Christians. I ridiculed the church. And in college, I was in a private Baptist school. I cheated on my Bible test. This is before I got saved. Don't judge me. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the Bible or Christians. My heart was hardened because of the sin that was in my life. I desperately needed God and I desperately needed change. But my heart was hardened. It's almost like my ears were plugged. In another translation, Jesus in the same passage, this is how he describes it. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. This was my life. They are stubborn. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. Man, that was my whole life up till I met Christ. That's why, listen, I start almost every sermon with God. Would you let our hearts be good soil today? Why? So that the word would take root in our life, that our lives would change. Because oftentimes the word gets scattered on the path, and by the time we make it to our car on a Sunday morning, it has evaporated by the time that we are driving out of this parking lot. How does that happen? I've heard this, people will come from other churches or people say this even about this church as well. They'll say, well, I just didn't get anything out of that message. I do believe there is bad preaching because I have preached a lot of bad sermons. and I take full responsibility. I promise I'm always going to do my best, okay? But listen, if you walk around every time someone's sharing the word and you just don't receive anything, it may be possible that something's wrong with your heart. Your heart may be hardened, and maybe it's not a blatant sin. Maybe it's pride, and everybody else knows it but you. Maybe your heart is hard as a rock, and so even when someone just share out of the purity of their heart the word of God, it's like, I can't receive it. Listen, my son ministers to me. He's 4 years old. He knows 2 Bible verses, and he shares them, and every time he shares them, every single night, it ministers to me. And he's full of sin. He is unsaved. He desperately needs God. I'm believing for God to do a miracle. I love him to death. But listen, he ministers to me. I walked in his room at 6:00 this morning. I was running late to come up here. He's making his bed. I said, why are you doing that? He's like, Mommy taught me how to make my bed. I was like, well, she's better than me, I guess. You know, like, he ministers to me. I want to ask you, how is your heart? It is your responsibility to steward the condition of your heart. The Holy Spirit can use anything to minister to you if your heart would be softened. The next one is this, rocky soil. This is the shallow heart. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They were burned, and they withered because they had no roots. Verse 20, he explains it at the end of the parable. He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, and it sounds really good. It says, they receive it with joy. Man, I'm so excited about what God did. Man, God really moved in that service. I'm so excited about this retreat or the camp or this moment. But listen, but since they have no roots, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, which were promised as Christ followers, they quickly fall away. One of the best ways to know if you are rooted in good soil or rooted in gravel is by answering these questions honestly. They're going to throw them up on the screen. One, how do I handle opposition? How do I respond to adversity? When things do not go how I plan, do I run from God or do I run to him? Do I only try to get out of trials or do I try to get something out of the trial? Do I remain faithful to God when my circumstances don't seem good? Listen, when you are planted in rocky soil, this is called circumstantial faith. This is a shallow faith. This is not rooted in Scripture, meaning, hey, Jesus, as long as I'm happy, as long as my life is good, as long as things are going well for me, as long as my prayers are answered according to my own will and how I would like them to be answered, I'll follow you. And I want to tell you, not only is this dangerous, but it's unbiblical. I've lived this way. Some think that sprinkling a little bit of soil on top of rocky ground is going to be okay, and I'm telling you, that's a shallow faith. I want to encourage you, adversity is affirmation in your life. If you are going the direction of the rest of the world, it's pretty common that you're not going to face a ton of adversity. Things may go bad because of sin, but I'm telling you, when you start walking with Jesus, when you go down the narrow path, when you pick up your cross and follow him, when you stand for what's right, when you have some conviction in your workplace, your school, your family, listen, the target got bigger on your back. There's adversity. There's trials, there's things that don't go our way. I want to say it this way. When someone makes an emotional response to follow Jesus, those same emotions that led them to follow Jesus in a moment will be the same emotions that lead them to abandon him when things get tough. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be rocky. The next one is the thorns. I figured the room would be quiet. The thorns. This is the crowded heart. The crowded heart, the seed falling among the thorns, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life. Everybody say worries of life. I don't know about you, but I've had worries in my life. It says the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the thorns. This is the crowded heart, meaning that your heart has become crowded by your own desires, your own worries. Have you ever seen a good plant or a good grass that's being choked out by like weeds or choked out by thorns? I just know that as these people are listening to Jesus teach this way, everything he is saying is resonating and clicking with them because they were so aware of the very thing that he was talking about because he was speaking their language. I'm sure some of them had their eyes wide open, and at this point, as he's talked through three soils, they're all probably like, yes, we understand what you are saying. It resonates just like it should resonate with us because we all know that the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth will choke out every good thing in our life and make our life unfruitful in this type of soil. The weeds and the thorns, they steal the source of life from our life. The weeds and the thorns, they steal the source of life from our life as well. I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me, when I am worried and when I have too much attention on money, it will rob me of joy. It'll rob you of life. It'll rob you of purpose. Have you ever heard the phrase riding the fence? Y'all ever heard that? I was thinking about it as we were writing about this specific soil, because that's what I think when I think about riding the fence. It's a very painful analogy. Have y'all ever really thought about what it means to ride the fence? It means you are sitting on a fence. You've got one leg on one side, you got one leg on the other. For all the men in the room, you know that's very painful, okay? It's probably painful for everybody. You're riding the fence, meaning you want both. Like I don't want to go full in this way or fully in this way. I'm just going to sit right in the middle. And I'm telling you, it's a painful way to live your life. This is a person with an overcrowded heart. I want you to get this. It's someone who is close enough to the world to be miserable as a Christian, but they're also close enough to Jesus to be miserable in the world. They're on the fence. They're overcrowded. Their life has all this anxiety and worry and fear, if it's finances or whatever it may be. I'm going to read it again. Someone who is close enough to the world to be miserable as a Christian, but also close enough to Jesus to be miserable in the world. On the fence. Not satisfied, not living a purposeful, fulfilled life, chasing anything but Jesus. I'm telling you with confidence this morning, it will lead to an unfruitful life. It will lead to an unsatisfied soul. It will lead to an unconfident eternity. But there's good news. And I saved the best for last, just so you know. There's good news. The last one is good soil. Everybody say good soil. Tell your neighbor, say, you need some good news. We all need good news. Why? Because our hearts are sick. Our hearts are evil. They're deceitful. We were born into sin. We need good soil. It says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and they understand it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what is sown. It's interesting to me that when it talks about good soil, Jesus immediately follows up talking about good soil by talking about what is produced by the soil. I don't know if you know this. You probably heard this cute little church phrase. You could tell a tree by its what? Fruit. You could tell a tree by its fruit. This is true. You can look at someone's life and you can tell where their roots are. You can look at someone's fruit in their life and tell where their roots are. And this is what I have been praying as we approach 2024. We read it a few weeks ago, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree that is planted by streams of water. The roots are just deep, which yields fruit in its season, and the leaf does not wither, and whatever they do, it prospers. I don't know about you, but I want that for my life. But a lot of us want fruit, but we don't want to address the root. We don't want to address the soil. And I'm telling you, our responsibility as Christ followers is to steward the condition of our heart. I want us to be planted in the Word of God this year, reading the Word, living the Word, and sharing the Word like we talked about earlier. 2024, we've told you, we're living in the Word. We're gonna break down a few specific books of the Bible and dig a little bit deeper. And I'm excited about this. And this is what I can promise you as the pastor of this church. I promise you that every Sunday, I'm gonna study myself approved. I'm not perfect. I'm going to study myself approved. I'm going to pray myself hot. I'm going to preach myself empty. And I'm going to be confident that God will do the rest. Every time. And all I'm asking is that a body of believers, a church, that we would come ready to receive the word. Not what Seth has to say, but what God is going to say through his word. So that we would be good soil, so that God can plant roots in our life. And we know the Holy Spirit draws people to repentance and changes our hearts. And so I just want to say this today. Maybe you're here and you can resonate with some of the soils we've talked about, and you're saying, Seth, I used to have good soil, but something overcrowded my heart. I used to have soil that was great. It was nutritious. It was good. But then something started choking out my life, and it's become these thorns. And maybe you've got this rocky soil, but God wants you to have good soil. He wants you to have good soil. If you want to change today, If you want to receive the word of God, if you want to be planted by streams of water, if you want to flourish and bear fruit and glorify God, I've got good news. You can. It's what the word says. I'm not going to make it up myself. I'm just going to read right from the Bible. Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And then it goes on, Ezekiel 36, 26, it says, and I will give you a new what? Heart. And a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. How do we have good soil? Matthew tells us. And he said to him, this is Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Your hearts, and with all your soul, and with all of your mind. I love what Proverbs 4:23 says. Above all else, what do we need to do? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. So we need to be on guard. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Guard your hearts. Why, Seth? Because everything that we do flows from it. And I'm telling you, just as much as you can have good soil today, tomorrow, you can wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Anybody been there? And it's like the worries of life, worries about finances, thinking about kids and your job and a mean boss. Hopefully Andrew doesn't ever think that way or what, you know, like we got all these things going on. We need to be good soil. You can be good soil. We can be good soil, but our heart is our responsibility to steward the condition of our heart. So this is what happens on any given Sunday. A sower sows the seed. The word of God is preached. This is what I believe in faith. The path begins to soften up by God's love. The rocks begin to get broken up by God's truth. The thorns begin to get burned off by the grace of God. And then good soil is being produced. And then from that good soil, it produces a crop. And then that cycle continues every single Sunday. Sunday after Sunday, sermon after sermon, life group after life group, meal after meal, every moment you're sharing the word, this is what is happening. So I want to end by doing this. If you could just close your eyes across the room. Here in a second, we're going to receive communion. But I want to ask you these questions and just have you be honest with yourself, be honest with the Lord today. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but I pray that God would convict and change our hearts today. I want to ask you, is your heart hardened by the world around you? Has it been hardened by the sin in your life? Is your soil deep? Is your heart deep? Or are you chasing shallow philosophies and shallow biblical literacy and shallow understanding of the truth of God's word in your life? God wants it to be deep. Is your soil overcrowded and choked out by the pleasures of life? Being worried. Where are you going to find security? Chasing money and chasing temporary things. Or maybe today your heart, your soil is fruitful. It's good soil, and I want you to stay on that path. And I want you to guard your heart because everything in your life flows from that place. And so with no one looking around, I just want to pray.